Our sermon reading today comes from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. Jesus says this, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, you can go ahead and breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief today, because the topic that I'm preaching on this morning is not quite as provocative as it has been lately. The last two topics, if you're with us the last few weeks, the last two topics we looked at the last 2 weeks was adultery and divorce. And I know the atmosphere in here was a little bit tense those 2 weeks. Although I do have to say, I didn't notice anyone nodding off those weeks. So that says something. Today's topic is less provocative, although no less important, no less relevant. Since the beginning of the year, we've been doing this sermon series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, and the title of the series is The Sermon on the Mount, Living the Upside-Down Kingdom. And I've given it this title because that's what Jesus is doing in this sermon. He's showing us how life in the kingdom of God is upside down compared to life in the kingdom of this world. And for the last few weeks, Jesus has been showing us how even following God's commandments is different when you're living in God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, we've seen Jesus, he takes these six Old Testament laws, and he gives a deeper, more radical interpretation of each of them. And Jesus' goal is to help us understand the true purposes of God's law as it relates to our hearts. And so far, we've looked at murder, we've looked at adultery, divorce, and today we're looking at something called oaths or vows. But really, the commandment that this topic falls under is the eighth commandment on lying. And so today we're talking about truthfulness, honesty, and integrity. Let's start by unpacking what Jesus is saying in these verses about oaths, about vows. Again, he begins by saying this in verse 33. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord.'" We've seen Jesus use the same formula for each commandment that he talks about. He says, "You have heard that it was said." And then Jesus, he states the traditional commandment. And then he'll go on to say, but I say to you." And then Jesus will give his own more radical interpretation of that commandment. Now, it's important to understand that in this case, Jesus, he doesn't give a direct quote regarding oaths from the Old Testament. There's no Old Testament passage that uses these words exactly. Instead, he gives more of a summary of the teaching on oaths in the Old Testament. Let me give you a few examples of what he's talking about from the Old Testament. Numbers 30 says this, "When a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Or Deuteronomy 23 says this, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not postpone fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you would incur guilt." Now, in Jesus' words, he talks about swearing a vow to the Lord, and he's not talking about cussing, you know, using swear words. What this is referring to is making a promise, making a vow, and swearing that you will do it by the name of the Lord, by the name of God. And, you know, we see several examples of this in the Bible where someone will say, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, I promise to do this. Or Paul, the Apostle Paul, will say, as God is my witness, I am telling the truth regarding this matter. And, you know, we have maybe kind of some similar things today. We say, to indicate how serious, you know, we are about a promise we make or a truth that we're making, we might say, you know, I swear on the Bible, or I swear on my mother's grave, you hear that a lot, or I swear on my life that I'm telling the truth. And maybe those are older generations. But today you might hear kids, you know, say, you know, I'm dead serious or something like that. Now, of course, today we use these phrases maybe kind of flippantly. But in the Bible, these vows, they're very serious. They weren't made casually. It's very similar to the way I think an elected official today, you know, places their hand on the Bible and takes an oath of office, right? We saw when we swear in a new president, this happens. We call it being sworn in as president or sworn in as vice president. And in that oath, they swear to faithfully carry out the duties of that office. And in the same way, the vows and the oaths the Bible talks about, they're very serious. But here now is what Jesus takes issue with. Oaths themselves, vows themselves, were not the issue, but instead it was the way they were being practiced at that time. You see, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, started shifting people's attention away from the vow itself and the need to keep it, and more on the type of formula that was used in the vow. You see, vows started to be said not just in the name of God, but in other things as well. They would swear by heaven, or by earth, or by Jerusalem, or by the temple, or by the altar. In fact, we see later in Matthew 23 that Jesus, he makes a similar complaint about the ways vows are being used. Matthew 23:16 will say, he'll say this: "Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by the oath." Right? So we see here that some people were swearing by the sanctuary, and others the gold of the sanctuary. Right? And so these oaths are being sworn on all sorts of things. And what the Pharisees started teaching was, you know, if you're to break one of these vows or you lie, the seriousness of the lie, it really depends on the kind of vow you took. This is what they're teaching. The closer you swear to the name of the Lord, the more serious it is and the more severe the punishment if you break it. But if you just swear by heaven or earth, it's not such a big deal if you break your vow. In fact, the scribes, the Pharisees, they're so serious about this stuff that in the Mishnah, which is the oral tradition of ancient rabbis, this is after Jesus, it was eventually written down and codified, they had 11 chapters devoted just to laws and vows. And so knowing this then helps us understand Jesus' next words in the passage. In Matthew 23, he'll say this, Matthew 5, he says then, "But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, why does it matter what you swear on? Whether you swear on God's name or something else, it doesn't matter. And that's because God's presence is right there in your midst no matter what. God's the creator. He's the sustainer of all things. No matter how hard you try, you can't avoid swearing on something related to God. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. Jerusalem is where he reigns as king. Your head, your body, they belong to God. He controls it all. No matter what you swear on, you swear by God. God is everywhere. You're always standing in his presence. And therefore, at all times, you should keep your word and live in honesty and integrity. Jesus is telling them there are no levels to truthfulness. God holds you accountable to everything you say. To God, everything is an oath. And this is why Jesus says, do not swear at all. He's not condemning the making of vows and oaths when you have to. But his point is, treat everything you say as a vow. Why do you have to make a vow to be truthful and keep your promises? And so he says in verse 37 again. Sorry, you can see it right there. He says, "Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." And in the book of James, James says something very similar. Saw in our first reading, it says, "Above all, my beloved, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." And what this simply means is keep your word. If you'll say you'll do something, do it. That's a promise enough. If you say you won't do something, don't do it. Remember, in this sermon, Jesus is telling the crowds what the kingdom of God is like. And the people of God's kingdom, they live differently. They are radically trustworthy. They are radically honest. They live with radical integrity. And so much so that it seems upside down to the rest of the world. Now, you might be thinking, you know, this teaching from Jesus maybe doesn't seem so difficult, right? You think, I'm generally an honest person. I don't lie. I keep my promises. I'm true to my word. But let's kind of take this to its full implications. What does radical honesty and integrity look like to its fullest extent? After all, Jesus said this back in verse 20. He said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Right? Jesus has high standards in his kingdom. And so what does upside down honesty and integrity in this world really look like? The word integrity, it comes from the Latin word integer, which means whole, means complete. And in mathematics, if we have any math nerds in here, an integer is a whole number, right, as opposed to a fraction. And so that's the question. Do you live as one whole person in all that you do and say at all times and all places? Or do you live a fractured life, living one way here, another way there, right? Integrity is being the same in every area of life. Here are some integrity questions. Do you say one thing but do another? Or are you one way in public but another way in private? Or do you say you believe one thing but think another? Or think about the full implications of what it means to be honest. Here are five different kinds of lies that we may tell at times. This list comes from Timothy Keller. And I found them to be very convicting for myself. So here's the first one. Number one, five different ways we may lie. Number one, small empty promises. I think this is a common one for us. You know, we make good intentional promises that we never end up getting to. For example, you might say to a child, "Hey, yeah, look, we can go fishing sometime," and you never get to it, right? Or you say, "Yeah, I'll call you sometime," to somebody, and you never do. Or how about this? How many times have you said, I'll pray for you," and you never do? Or maybe you do once and you never remember again. Here's another lie. Number two, we tell political lies. And I don't mean in actual kind of politics, but I mean we kind of play political games sometimes in our own relationships, right? Say someone invites you over and you say, "Oh, we'd love to go, but we're too busy." But you're not really that busy. Right? Or someone says, "Did you get a chance to read the book I lent you?" And you say, "Yeah, a little bit," but you didn't crack it. Right? We do this type of lie a lot. You don't want to hurt someone's feelings, so you say something that feels easier to lie than tell them how you really feel, what's really going on. Here's the third one. We exaggerate. And we particularly see this in our relationships. Think about this. How many times have you ever said to someone, or maybe to a spouse, something like, "You always do this," right? Or, "You never do that. You always blame me. You never help out. You're always spending more time with your friends than me," right? Or we exaggerate when we maybe gossip about others, talk about others, right? "They're the worst," or "I've told them a million times how to do this," or "They're the dumbest person in my school," or something. Right, we exaggerate. Jesus says this in Matthew 12. "I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Right, that's convicting. The careless things we say when we, I don't know, kind of run our mouths, they matter. Here's the fourth way we lie. Number four, benevolent lies. This is when someone needs to hear the truth from us, but we're too kind of scared, too embarrassed to share it. Again, we don't want to hurt their feelings. But sometimes someone needs to be told in love that they have a problem or they have an addiction. Sometimes someone needs to be told that, "Hey, I don't think the person that you're dating is maybe the best person to be with. Or I don't think it's a good idea for you to go and, you know, get $100,000 in debt for a degree in art history," or something like that. Withholding truth is its own form of lying. And here's the last way we lie. Number five, routine business lies, right? You can imagine this: padding resumes, adding facts to bios, manipulating timesheets, plagiarism, falsifying academic research. And I would guess that among all these five different lies, different kinds of lies, we can all think back on our lives and find places where we have been dishonest. With Jesus, there are no levels of honesty. God's presence is always with us. He hears every word, knows our every thought. He calls us to be people of honesty and integrity. He calls us to be a city on a hill, right? A community that the rest of the world is drawn to. Imagine a community built on honesty and integrity where you could always trust. You could always trust the person next to you. And I think we can certainly imagine the opposite, right? You see the opposite in all sorts of different places in our world. But that's not who we're called to be as God's people. I think one of the most common reasons we aren't always honest is because it's costly to us, right? The truth can be costly. It certainly was for Jesus. I mean, this, after all, is why Jesus was killed, why the religious leaders killed Jesus. He told the truth, and they didn't like it. He told the truth about who he was as the Messiah, as the Son of God. He told the truth about who God really was, what God was really like, what he desires for us. And he told the truth about who the religious leaders really were on the inside, the ways in which they had fallen short, and in the ways that they had lived, in the ways that they had taught. And Jesus was killed for the truth. And he knew this path, it would lead him to the cross, and he still told the truth. Even when on trial before the religious leaders, before Pilate, he told the truth. And the reality is Jesus paid the price for our lack of truth-telling, for our lack of integrity. He died for our sin. And we're saved because of Jesus' integrity. And the good news is that he forgives us. He makes us into new creations, and he invites us to be a part of this new upside-down kingdom that he's bringing to earth. And in this new kingdom, we're invited to walk in radical honesty and integrity. Let's pray.